Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. We want to thank all of you for joining us today, and we have an exciting show here for you. Our subject today is going to be on praise. But before we get started, we'd like to share a little prophecy with you. Our awareness is being tested daily to recognize all the changes and actions that are happening and to remember through all change that we include God. For He can lead us in the right direction even when we feel lost. For us to grow to higher consciousness, it is about being fully aware of everything, and that includes our spiritual self also. It is not just about what you see, but about what you inwardly connect your thoughts and emotions to. If you allow yourself to indulge in violent movies, the energies projected from the movie will affect you emotionally and even continue to affect you after the movie is over. Discern what is best for you. When you feel discouraged, sad, or even angry, refocus your thoughts and ask for assistance from the divine beings of light. They will come to you and help if you are serious and in need. We are all meant to become enlightened beings and one with God, but we are always being challenged with opposition. We must grow and learn how to deal and handle this opposition, and know we are never alone. Allow the inner peace of God's love to fill your heart and soul, and ask for guidance when needed. He loves us very much and would never abandon us in times of need. Acknowledge the blessings we receive and all we have. Give praise to God every day and hold gratitude and gratefulness and all we have. Start your day with thanks and praise. Then throughout the day, acknowledge the blessings God gives you. Doing this each day will change your life for the better and bring you closer to God. If you just humble yourself to God, He will lift you up above the chaos and give you all you need. For He is a forgiving and loving God and wishes always the best for each person who is willing to acknowledge and to respect and humble themselves before God, knowing that we are all one. And in this oneness, we will grow to be able to change this world to a better place. But if we focus only on ourselves, we let God out of the picture. And then the most important part of our life is completely void. We need to be whole. We need to allow this part of ourselves to acknowledge that we are human, but our soul and spirit is connected to that of the light of God, to the messages that come through to us. We should listen and acknowledge them, for they will guide us in the direction we need to go. Allow this to be part of your life. And it will change you, and you will find things will feel much better. Thank you, and blessings to you.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
You know, it's funny, Sandy, because I can honestly say that I hear people talk all the time, and I've heard the song, and I love the song that talks about, you know, unanswered prayers. Thank God for unanswered prayers, because of, you know, how it may have turned out had they gotten what they prayed for. But honestly, I hate to say it, but you know, God has always answered our prayers. I mean, always. Now, it may not have been, you know, if I were to draw it out and write it out and do a structure of it in the whole nine yards, that it would be exactly like that. But I don't pray that way anyway. I mean, you know, it is God's will that I place myself into. And then if I have to walk through something to be able to understand it, then that's what it may take. And I think that's where so many of us fall short. Now, I've been doing this since I was a kid, and, you know, if there was something that I needed to know or understand, or, you know, or even, you know, not just knowledge but wisdom and the understanding, you know, I would end up having to walk it, whatever it was that would gain me the knowledge by applying it, because knowledge not applied is not knowledge. And so you apply the knowledge, and it grants you wisdom. And then you have to apply the wisdom, and it will then grant you the understanding. And when you reach the understanding, it's the aha moment. And if you think about those two words, aha, they are sacred. They are sacred words. The ah is basically at birth, and the ha is the last thing that you'll probably ever say, which is the expelling of the breath from the body.
This is true.
So, you know, it's about being, are you willing? Are you willing? How many people that I ask that, and was asked by even when the Messiah walked the earth? I mean, how many did he ask? Are you willing? And so many were not willing. Now, they were willing to follow him in the wilderness so they could get, you know, some free fish and some bread, you know. And I hate to say that was what the angels told us in a prophecy, that many of those who followed Jesus, the thousands, you know, the reason why they didn't get healed or have, you know, awesome experiences, though many did, there were many that didn't. And why? Because they followed him into the wilderness, because they knew that if they got hungry, that he would feed them. And I had to ponder that for a moment. I mean, really? I mean, you couldn't look into the eyes of the Messiah and realize who this was. I mean, even at whatever level of consciousness you were at, I mean, there had to be an awareness. But evidently, sometimes there's not. And one may pass from this planet, this sphere of activity, and never, ever truly know who the Messiah was, who God is. And, you know, it's not taught in many of the churches. There's so much doctrine that has been added to churches. I had this conversation yesterday with a couple that were from New Jersey, and they had been raised Catholic, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But, you know, we had the conversation of doctrine. What is doctrine? You know, I guarantee you, all the churches that are out there have in some way figured out a way to add into their doctrine something that is different, something that says, well, if you don't embrace this piece of doctrine, then you can't be one of us. And honestly, you know, God's doctrine is clear. It is the Holy Trinity, and it is through praise, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love each other, even as I have loved you. It doesn't say, love only the ones that go to your church. You know? And, you know, and it was like, if we could just lay aside for a moment, you know, what we might consider to be those doctrines, you know, and let each individual, you know, love God and worship him in the way that is personal for them, without us having to want them to have to change. But we can still be who we are. We can show by example what it means to love, what it means to give of that which we receive, which is a law, but the laws were made to bring us closer. When you give something away that somebody needs, God replaces it. And the more you give away, the more God replaces. If you really want to know what it's like to have, like David said, you know, overflowing. When it overflows, what is overflow? Overflow is that which never stops. It doesn't have an ending. It continues, and it continues to pour forth. And when you get to that point, you won't be able to stop yourself from wanting to give to those who God brings on upon your path. And you can see that they're in need of something. Maybe it's just a conversation. You know, there's so many variables, but they're really all the same. God is probably answering a prayer by bringing you into the picture at the time that this person will be at a specific place, a specific time, and you show up, and through you, God can answer that person's prayer. Are we there? Are we willing to do that? Are we do every day when we wake up, do we say, glory be to God in the highest, through the Father, through the Messiah, you know, Emmanuel, you know, my God and my Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit. You know, use me this day. You know, may my steps be sanctioned. May you hold me hand in hand. May you live within my heart. And if I can be of help or aid to anyone, you know, then let our paths cross. That the glory, not for my glory, but that the glory of God can be made manifest in the physical realm. Because, you know, we have to remember that we often worship spirit, but what about about God coming through us so that the physical can be overlaid with God's will? That's one of the biggest reasons we're even here. And yet, do we do that? Well, we do it when we want a new car. We do it when we need something or want something. But, you know, and I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to, you know, say you're a bad person for, you know, needing a new car. If you need a new car or you need, you know, transportation that is reliable, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, we were once asked by Spirit, you know, what is it that you really need? And so we come up with a couple of things. They said, not really. They said, you don't really need a bed. You need a mattress on the floor would suffice. They said, but God understands that as humans, you know, you feel more comfortable when you're up a little higher off the floor, that you don't have to worry about a mouse chewing on your toe. So, you know, God understands. But the idea is, are you, at the end of every day, can you say that I placed myself out there and ask that if I can be utilized, you know, for God's work or to bring forth the manifestation that can be seen by another, or I can show forth the love of God, you know, to another, then absolutely allow me to be where I need to be when I need to be. And praise. One of the last things that came to me within the heart was, don't look left and don't look right. And when I first heard that, I had to ponder. I mean, literally, and that's always been a way that I do things sometimes, is to ponder it very carefully. You know, don't look left and don't look right. I thought, well, what if the person needs help is on the left? You know, and I thought, you know, I've really got to ponder this. And what I come to understand is that the left and the right will always be where those things are placed that will catch your attention. Something that you just, you know, it's too good to be true. And it will take you off the path. And all it has to do is take you off your path or out of the steps just long enough so that you're not where you need to be when you need to be able to help or aid that individual in the name of God. And one way to stay in that flow is through praise. Praise in God. You know, it was once said, don't worry. Why worry if you could pray? When you can't pray, then worry. But I've also come to realize that there are times when we go through, you know, the valley of the shadows, or, you know, or those situations that feel like the wilderness. And, you know, the only way sometimes out of it is through praise and through song, singing, you know, spiritual music, and again, through the praising of God ahead of time. Thank you, God, for lifting me out of this situation, for bringing me up and out of it, to raise my energies and to fill me to overflowing with love. And when we do that, we are, before it has even been manifested as we can see it, well, God has already manifested it. Trust me, that God knows what you need before you even go to Him in prayer. He already knows it. He's waiting for you to come before Him in humbleness, and to ask if you need to, in that humbleness, what you may need. But honestly, He already knows. Praise Him for giving it to you. Thank you for answering what I know you already know I need. And you will find that it happens. It happens. And for it to materialize, it takes someone who is living on the planet and can bring forth that manifestation by embodying the light and the love and the codes of creation within themselves to bring forth the glory of God. Why are things breaking down? Why are the trees being, you know, they're looking really sad these days in some places? And why are our waters so, you know, not so pristine anymore? Well, you know, again, part of it is praise and being able to say, use me, O Lord, if I can be of service, use me. I mean, you know, show me where I can bring forth the praise and the glory of God, you know, outwardly. You have to do it out loud. A lot of people want to pray in secret, in quiet, and there is a part of the Bible that says, go into your prayer closet, you know, because some people, that's the only way they can pray. But why? You know, get out there and speak it. You know, scream it from the mountaintops. I mean, and give God the glory ahead of time, before you can even see the manifestation. And I guarantee you, you will begin to see it blossom. You will begin to see it grow. You will begin to see it come before you, because that's the promise. And I can tell you, God has never broken a promise to me. Now, I can't answer for others, but I can only answer for me. And I can tell you, God has never broken a promise. And why would He? God is not a man that He should lie to you. God is not a man that He should deceive you. And trust me, there are plenty of individuals out there who would deceive you. And, you know, and it's a real shame, because it's not necessary. God has promised just recently that He is going to wipe out the debts that humans have accrued, even though on the cross Jesus said, Father, it is finished. It's all forgiven, but it still takes you to say, glory be to God in the highest. Thank you in the name of the Father, Emmanuel, my God and Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit for removing from me anything that, you know, I may have walked through, anything that may have tried to, you know, get me off center or off my path, you know, and give praise to God for it. And you will find that if you do it in humbleness, God has promised real soon, very soon, is all I can tell you, it is real soon, that God's going to lift us up. Now, some have called it maybe the rapture, but I don't believe it has anything to do with the word rapture that we may find in the scriptures. Because in the original Greek, which is where the word came from, and it's only in a couple of places in the Bible, rapture means to forcibly remove. So, you know, it's not what has been termed the rapture, because too many Christians that I know, you know, have waited. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. I'm waiting for that rapture. You know, I can do what I want to now, you know, and as long as I know, oh, look, here comes the rapture. Forgive me, you know, and I know then I'll be lifted up. I'm already saved. Is that really the way that we believe that God would have us live our lives? That God put us here? No. It's so that we can be fit companions to His Spirit, to Him, to the Holy Trinity, which is the God force that steps down the perfect light into the material realm. Because God Himself, you know, to step down into the material plane, oh, it would fix everything, but not easily. I mean, it would create, you know, massive chaos. Out of the chaos would come perfectness. But is that the way we want to do it? Or would we rather do it by giving praise to the Holy Trinity and asking that it come through from the Father, you know, hallowed be thy name, through the Messiah. You know, Emmanuel is the name that was given by Isaiah. And Emmanuel, my God and my Savior, and through the blessed Holy Spirit, which moves as a mighty rushing wind, and she carries the codes of creation within her, the perfect light of the Father. And together, the two is one, you know, she can overlay with those codes through you what needs to be changed, what you have identified as this is corrupt, this is, you know, this is hurting people, or this is harmful, whatever it may be, she can bring those codes forth. And if your intent is for bringing forth God's glory, and you give God all of the credit, not any part of it for yourself, give God the credit. And when I say God, I'm also talking about the Holy Trinity. I can't tell you how many religions, when I hear someone who is really deep into the religion, and maybe even an elder or deacon or whatever it may be, and they pray, they end it with, through the Father and through the Son. Really? Because, yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but He was more than that. I mean, you know, He is your God, and He is your Savior. He earned it. He walked every possible scenario that, would you really want to walk that yourself? He walked it all, and then He hung on that cross, and He said, Father, it is finished. And He took it all away. And we put it back. We're the ones who put it back on ourselves, and we call it guilt. And some of the religions will, you know, do their best to make sure that they put it back on you. And once Christ took it away, you know, it's away. All you have to do is acknowledge, praise God, and thank Him for removing from you any mistakes that you may have made since then. Because since then, you know, the not-so-shiny light, which is what the angels like to call them, the not-so-shiny light, you know, took over. And they set up a world that is an illusion. It's not real. Do you really think this is real? Science doesn't even call it real. I mean, particle theory. And they don't know where the particle goes. But, you know, when the particle is viewed by a human, you know, the particles disappear, and they become a wave. Now, where do they go, and at what speed are they moving at? Everything that we, even in science, that we basically conclude is concluded in third dimension, third dimensional light, third dimensional, you know, which moves at, what, 186,000 feet per second? Don't quote me if I'm wrong on that, but it's the speed of light, and everything matches. They try to match it up to that. But really? I mean, is there really only, you know, one plane of existence where the light moves at that speed? I mean, you know, science knows that quanta or quantum is beyond their real understanding, and that it would take into account greater speeds than the speed of light or the speed of day and night light. And, you know, if we look back upon, you know, the early scriptures, we see that the day started in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. And it's telling us, you know, in the cool of the evening, God walked and talked with Adam. In the cool of the evening, it tells you that during the day, when the sun is at its brightest, it's the hardest to connect with our spiritual applications or our spiritual direction. But how do you do that? You do it by being in praise. Praise the name of God. And even as he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils, and the man became a living soul. So do you return it by breathing out the words of praise in the name of God. And it's returning it. It's a circle. And it takes those codes that God breathed into you, even the codes of the Bible or the scriptures themselves, you know, because, come on, a God that created billions of universes, which has billions of galaxies, which has billions of stars, you know, didn't know that, I'm not sure about this guy over here. He might, you know, change this little piece around a little bit or add a word here or a word there. Come on. I mean, we don't give the credit to God that, oh, my goodness gracious, if you could only just stop and ponder it, you know, and be willing to walk the walk, then you will know and you will begin to have that personal life and love and with God. And he will take up your life and you will begin to see things happening. I don't ever go out of this parsonage, you know, even to get groceries or something from one of the stores, that I don't run into somebody that it turns out to be something either I needed to hear, they needed to hear, or we all needed to hear. And it that's the way it works. Sometimes it's just little things. Sometimes they are massive things that I wouldn't have known or found out otherwise. Why? Because knowledge not applied is not yet knowledge. So if you really wanna, you know, to be the Christian or to be, you know, the person that God made you to be, and trust me, if you are on this planet right now, you are destined for greatness.
Absolutely.
Because it's coming. And if we aren't ready, and we haven't studied, and we are just happenstance, hoping that, you know, when it comes, it's gonna whisk me away, you know, into, you know, someplace where I could settle on the front porch in my rocker and, you know, see the sunset. Come on. Is that really? And I know some churches that preach that, sorry to say. And I have to say, it's different. That's not it at all. We are meant to be co-creators with God, and that is to be able to follow the law. And the law is simple. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. Praise and love each other, even as I have loved you. And that one may be the hardest, but not really. I mean, honestly, how hard is it? How hard is it really to forgive somebody? Because when you forgive somebody, you're actually creating within yourself a realignment of the body physical. And we don't realize that. Well, I'm not forgiving that person because, you know what, they haven't changed, so I'm not going to do it. And I have heard it. Trust me, I have had people say that. Well, I just can't do it right now. Why? What do you got to lose? I mean, really? I mean, that was 30 years ago. I mean, and you want to hold on to it? Well, you have no idea how bad it was. Oh, trust me. You know, try walking some of the walk that I have done since I was a kid. You know, I mean, we were raised without money, without extra things. I mean, and I grew up a West Virginia boy, and I know what it's like to have to work for what you want and what you need. And to be close to God, it's going to take praise. And it's going to take pondering, and it's going to take questioning, you know, so that you can fulfill the knowledge and move away from the tree of knowledge, because it is nothing but illusion, and it will keep you in that hamster wheel for an eternity if you let it. So
yeah, that's for sure.
Get out of it, and as you apply it, you will become into wisdom, and as you apply the wisdom, you will gain the understanding, and there's where, all of a sudden, you will read passages in the scriptures, and I don't remember reading that before, or it is understood that it couldn't have been before. Jesus said to Peter, "Who am I?" And when he said, "I believe that you are the Christ, you know, the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said, the only way you could know that is that the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. Well, the Holy Spirit is the third aspect of the Trinity. So it's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If you want to know the truth, the real truth, then it's about the walk. Walk the walk. And ask that, you know, God, use whatever you are have to walk through, use that and count it to you as righteousness. And praise his name out loud. You know, I mean out loud. I know sometimes the neighbors might think I'm a little crazy because I'll run around this place out here and I'll be singing the hymns at the top of my lungs. You know, and I can say that my voice is not, you know, not equal to, you know, those you may hear in the Grand Ole Opry, but it's not about that. It's about the praise. And when you praise and you sing the praises, it realigns the central nervous system. It realigns the body itself. And it will bring more love.
It will.
In the overflowing to you.
It does. And you know, true praise of God is first an inward emotion, a gladness, a rejoicing of the heart, a music of the soul and spirit, which no language can adequately express. And the word praise comes from the Latin pretium, meaning price or value, and may be defined generally as an ascription of value or worth. You know, true praise consists in a sincere acknowledgement of a real conviction of worth. Its type may be seen in the representation given in the Apocalypse of the Adoration of God and of the Lamb, which is inspired by a sense of their worthiness to be adored. Revelations 4:11 and 5:12. You know, in Psalms 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." You know, in the Edgar Cayce story of the Bible, one of the stories says, "As it comes to pass, when the priests would come out of the holy place, for all the priests who were present there entered into the holy place, also the Levites, who were the singers, and the sons of Asaph, and his brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals, psalteries, harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets, that the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And they that lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the house of the Lord was filled with the brightness of his glory." Chronicles 5:11 through 14. You know, praise is a legitimate response to God's self-revelation. Personal experiences of God's deliverance and favor elicit praise. Psalms 34. Praise is a frequent theme in Psalms. The Hebrew title, which is praises, praises a theme throughout the whole of Scriptures and in hymns throughout the books of Exodus. Samuel, Isaiah, Daniel, Ephesians, and Revelations are in parallel with praise. To praise is to call attention to his glory. In giving oneself to praise, the worshiper declares his or her total alignment with God's purposes. Praise is fitting for what is the highest good, God Himself. Praise is both a duty and a delight. And this is Psalm 63. God's most spectacular action involves the incarnation of Jesus, an event heralded in praises by angels in the heavens and shepherds returning to their fields. Glory to God in the highest, Luke 2:14 and 2:20. And while private spoken praises to God is fitting and right, it is virtually intrinsic to the notion of praise that it be publicly expressed. David appointed the Levites to ensure the public praise of Israel. Chronicles 16:4, just like you had said earlier, Jim, how important it is to speak it. You know, psalms, or a technical term meaning a song of praise. Some forms of praise include shouting, you know, playing musical instruments, making melody, dancing. And when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, devotees waved palm branches. And in Israel, praise was mainly a spoken word. Now, the book of Psalms has one-third of all the psalms that contain elements of praise. So, as a book of praise, the psalms build to a remarkable crescendo of praise in which all creatures are summoned to incessant praise of God, as are the stars and planets in the heavens and even the angels. In order to praise the Lord with the honor due in His name, it is important to understand how and why the Lord has created praise in His Word, and then to follow His plan for praise in your life.
And you know, babe, Sandy, it's even can be said that the stars, the planets that surround those stars, as they move in their, you know, orbital patterns and stuff, and they make a sound. Everything has a sound to it, a celestial sound. And that sound, believe it or not, if that galaxy or that solar system is in alignment with God's love and law, then the sound that it makes is constructive and builds upon itself. If it's not, then it will be destructive, and eventually it will fall apart.
Yeah, it's true. Now, gratitude is found in all praise. Halal is a Hebrew word for hallelujah. Halal praise is seen in Scripture as an expression of joyful exuberance and not a subdued whisper. You know, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Psalms 103:1. I will give thanks to You, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all Your wonderful deeds. Psalm 9:1. My mouth is filled with Your praise, declaring Your splendor all day long. Psalm 71:8. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Colossians 3:16. Now in Psalms 113, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of the people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, each of the last five Psalms, 146 through 150, begin and ends with the Hebrew word hallelujah. Lord, praise in the theme of each of the Psalms. We should all learn from these Psalms how important it is to praise the Lord. Make this a regular part of your life each day. Allow yourself to be centered with God and give praise through singing, dancing, music, raising your hands in the air, kneeling or clapping your hands. Each day, we should begin it with focusing our thoughts on God and who He is and what He has done for us. Our hearts will be filled with praise and joy, remembering His almighty deeds and excellent greatness. If you slip into a negative energy and you allow it to take over your life, you are like a magnet, and that energy will attract to yourself more of what you are projecting. But if you are conscious enough, you can stop that projection of energy and reverse its outcome by just being more loving and drawing the positive, loving energy to yourself. Give praise to God. Allow God to help lift any negativity off of you. There was an interesting story that I'd heard. A gentleman said one time, he knows why so many of our crops failed last summer. He believes we were supposed to learn something about trusting God. It was a message of hope to look to in the time of struggle. He says it's as if our Heavenly Father was saying, look to me, even amid your uncertainty and loss. Whether the crops or loved ones, I am here calling you to my joy and peace. And in spite of his bewilderment, he was hopeful as he went about the duties of his life, knowing love can win out in even the worst of circumstances. The best example of God's great love is God's Son. To think he would give up all of heaven to meet us here, to court us, wooing our hearts. Such a wonderful thing he could do for us. God loves us with all of his heart and soul. God loves each one of us more than anyone could ever imagine. And if we can understand this, we will understand more of why it's so important to be one with God.
And you know, Sandy, it's really true too, because if you would have friends, you should be friendly. If you would find love, love each other. Even as I have loved you, said the Master. Know the truth that was taught even by the priests of old and those upon whom were made many stripes. For announcing publicly that faith that they carried, that love of God, that the Lord God is one, knew without a doubt this law is true. And that's part of the idea, too, is that the things that are truth become known. You know their truth without a doubt. I mean, you just know it. And yet, too often we say faith, and faith is important, don't get me wrong. Faith is very necessary in it all, in the scheme of things. But, you know, just to brush things off and not have to walk the walk, because, well, I have faith, you know. And I've had people tell me, well, I'm saved, I have faith, you know, that Jesus was who he said he was, and so I know I'm going to heaven and I don't have to worry about it. And I told the person, I said, well, I understand, and I'm not here to judge you, but I think that when we get to heaven, that there's going to be a lot of people sitting on the park benches not knowing where to go. And I do believe that that's true. You know, we're meant to understand it. We're meant to know it as co-creators with God. How can one be a co-creator with God and not understand what and who God is? That the Lord God is one. Know that without a doubt. The law is true. While life and death are opposites, they are also constant companions, one with another. Only the destructive forces know death as their Lord. Creative spiritual forces know life as their Lord. And what a contrast. What a difference between the left and right brains. You know, that's why, don't look left or right, look forward. look face forward and walk that path and don't let anything pull you away from it. I mean, you know, accept God. Let God lead you and be where he needs you to be when he needs you to be. And the timing will always be right. And when you look and break down and you can look back and see where you walked, you'll just be amazed. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. I didn't even really think about that happening and that happening and that happening and that happening, and that probably had nothing to do with me at all. It was about God. You know, the word praise occurs 274 times in the Bible. 274 times.
Yeah, and you know in Psalms, we're commanded to praise God no less than 13 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, and yet, how much do we praise? Is everybody out there that's listening, do you praise it on a regular basis? I mean, praise before you pray. Thank God for answering the prayer that you haven't even asked for yet. When the Israelites went into battle, you know, let's just say with Saul, when Saul was king, along would come Samuel, and he would do the blessing and on the altar, and he would bless the troops. But at the front line of the troops that went into battle, the very front line was composed of the praisers, those who sang the glories of God. Now, can you imagine? It's one thing to have a sword in your hand or a bow and arrow or whatever it may be, even if you're two or three lines back, but to be on the front line and what you have is your voice to sing the glory of God. And you know what? It doesn't say that they were all slaughtered. I have a strange feeling that if anybody come out of that battle, it was them. Because when you're singing those praises and you truly mean it from the heart and you really, really, really know who God is, and you can't imagine life without God in your life, when that occurs, I mean, everything begins to change. And there will still be, don't think there won't be temptations, don't think that there won't be things that try to attempt to pull you away from what you're meant to do. But you just take that step back on the path if it does yank you away, and, you know, and praise God ahead of time, and then ask for the forgiveness, you know, from your Creator, from the Holy Trinity, from the Christ, you know, or whatever it is that is your faith. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what your doctrine should be or faith should be. You know, we are a non-denominational church at the Living Light Center, and we welcome all faiths. And I don't try to tell people, you know, you're wrong on that, you're wrong on this, or whatever it may be. You know, I teach what I teach, and it comes from the experiences of walking, you know, the walk. From the time I was little, when I would walk through something that, sometimes it felt like a wilderness, but I would go to the Bible, and I would search to find the answer, and it was always there. The Bible wasn't created for 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. It was created for us now to be able to get us home, because we're right on the doorstep. I mean, if you haven't seen the sign, you're not looking. And, you know, I'm telling you that doing the praises, doing the sacred names of God, I mean, you can move clouds in the sky with the sacred names of God. But, you know, but I would rather move the darkness away when I feel it trying to press forward and try to influence me. And, you know, the key there is if you go into praise, your mind cannot do both, you know, because it puts you in the center, right in the center. And try it. Try singing a song that you know that is one of the old gospel hymns or one that, you know, that you've come to know. I mean, because there's a bunch of beautiful music out there. And try singing it, and you will find that the darkness, that the downness, the tendencies to be depressed, it can't come in. It can't work its way in. You know, your mind can't hold both. And that's why it's important. And so praise, when you feel like praising the least, that's when you should do it the most, because it changes it. It moves the entire central nervous system in such a way that it will lift you up.
It does. And praise is a matter of obedience to our great God. It stems from a deliberately focusing on Him, and it's the result of being willfully God-centered in our thinking. It is your responsibility to praise God. Think about it. How many times a day do you spend praising God? You know? Do you bless your food before you eat it and give thanks to God for it? Do you give thanks and gratitude for all the blessings that you're given throughout the day? Do you try to align yourself in oneness of God? Because the more you do this, the more you become more aligned to the pureness of His love and light. It raises your consciousness and allows you to see the good in life. It drives you to want to continue to do good things for others, to bring happiness and joy into your life
and it grows.
And into other people's lives.
And it grows and grows and grows.
Yeah.
There's no end to it. That's the beauty of it. You know, wherever the love is now in your heart, there's no end to where it can go and how much. You know, try to outgive God and see that He will replace whatever it is that you share, you know, because lack and the desire to receive for your own selfish purposes are the same frequency. But to receive for the purposes of sharing, share. Even if it's just a little bit to start with, but you know what? God will replace that little bit with more light. And the more you give in your work and in His name, the more light He will give you. That's how He knows how much light you desire, because He does not force upon you anything at all. And that's why it is so very important that we do this. I heard a preacher preach the other night, and she said, well, when I was younger, you know, my dad would hook up a little clock-like thing that would go off throughout the day, you know, to remind them to stop and pray and praise. But they said, really, after a while, it became really annoying because it's like every 15 minutes this thing would go off, and you're in the middle of a group of people, and, you know. But he really took it seriously. You know, if I have to put on you, you know, a device that tells you, hey, it's time to do your prayers and praise, but do it in everything. And people say, well, how could you do that? I mean, if you're at work, really? If you're at work, that's especially where it should be. You know, you should have God in everything and ask that God be involved in everything. And it pushes away those obstacles that will be placed in front of you. And a lot of times, the most beautiful gifts that come to you will come at the 11th hour. Why? Because if they're in your mind, the not-so-shiny light knows what they are. And so, oftentimes, you won't know until the 11th hour, so as there to not allow the not-so-shiny light to put obstacles in your path. I mean, God's got a reason.
Right.
I mean, God's God.
And always remember, if you want to be loved more, you need to act lovingly. You need to try to be more loving, because as you do it, it becomes more of who you are, and you attract more love back into your life. And the same is with joy and happiness. You have to become it, and then it becomes you, and everything around you is projected, you know, this energy, and it attracts likes attract likes. So, giving praise to God is showing honor, respect, and humbling yourself to know that we were granted a blessing to be able to be here this lifetime, to be able to learn many different things, experience many different opportunities. And yes, we will make our share of mistakes, and we will get lost at times. But we always need to remember we can turn to God at any moment in time. And if we are truly serious and humble, God will listen. God will help lift us out of that place into a better place.
And remember, too, that if you came into this world and the family that you had weren't really the most loving of people, well, they were dealing with their own issues, too, a of trying to grow and become closer to God. But the idea, too, here is that, you know, if you were meant to be a really loving person, chances are you're going to be tested right from the beginning. You know, I have seen too many people who said, oh, my family treated me terrible, you know. And I've seen families that, you know, well, it's just the way it's always been, and so we don't really like each other, but we still get together because that's the way you should do it. Really? I think it would be more important to, you know, take that day instead and spend it with God, and or speak your truth to the family members. Because when you do, it causes them to have to look at their own truths and whether or not it applies. If it's not truth, then they will have to deal with it. And that's why it's too often when you change something and you get closer to God, the whole family will come up against you because they don't want you to change. When you change and it's for the good, then they have to change, or they have to at least deal with it. And so I see it all the time. And people say, why are they coming up against me so much? Why is the family not, you know, is so harsh with me? And I said, because you're changing. You're getting closer to God. And so you're giving off a frequency that says to their body and their soul, you know, feel this frequency? This is from God. This is the frequency I'm growing closer to God with. And their soul understands that. And like attracts like, so said Pastor Sandy. And so they're required to either come closer to God, because that's what the frequency is doing, or they will have to reckon with it under the law. And you're giving them the opportunity. You always speak the truth, because if you don't, what gives others the opportunity to possibly come closer to God in their own lives? You know, and that's not to judge them. It's to just speak the truth. And they don't even have to agree with it. One thing I'd like to say, too, is that we also do weddings, and we've done quite a few of them this year. We do those through Calvary's Grace is the name that we do them under, and they're part of our creative aspect of the Living Light Center, the Church of Faith and Healing. But I do something different. Instead of using I do, I typically will ask the participants if they would like I am. So are you willing to take this person as your, you know, loving wife? And they say, I am. The other person, I ask the same questions, I am. And what you then have is, I am that I am. And it changes. I mean, you have now placed God into the circle, into the marriage. So, you know, if you have questions, give us a call, 304-567-3354. Or you can email at Sandy's, with a S, Sandy's Angel Talk at AOL.com, or TLLCChurch@AOL.com, and, you know, and contact us. I mean, we are doing so many programs right now with food and clothing. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many cases of food and clothing and coats for children and even some for adults that we've given out in the local community this year. I mean, this year, not even counting last Christmas and November.
It's been good. And so we want to thank all of you for joining us, and we do hope you will join us again in 2 weeks.
Glory be to God.
God bless.
Amen.